young lady named Gaeta, and I'll call her to the mic now.
Thank you. Hi, everybody. My name is Gaeta, and I'm an addict from Chicago. Thank you. There's a statement that I must read first before I speak. So the NA member chosen to speak at a meeting needs to be someone who is working and living the NA program of recovery. A little nervous. Which are the 12 steps and the 12 traditions. In areas where there is not an abundance of NA members with substantial clean time or experience with the 12 steps and the 12 traditions, there is the possibility that a group inexperienced in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand NA traditions and invite speakers from outside the NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this situation. Our basic text, for instance, reminds us that NA members from other areas are willing to drive long distances to support new groups. The speaker helps fulfill the group's primary purpose, carrying the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. When speaking at an NA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from the disease of addiction. It is not necessary to dwell excessively on our active addiction or war stories because we all know what it was like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using, and we are here to share our experience, strength, and hope of recovery. Thanks. Thank you. Again, my name is Gaeta, and I'm an addict.
Hey, Gaeta.
First of all, can we take a moment of silence for the addicts that are suffering inside this room and the addicts that are still out there and the horrors of their addiction, and for this addict here that stand before you to ask God to deliver a message of hope and hope that somebody gets something out of this message. A moment of silence, please. Thank you all. Again, I'm Gaeta from Chicago. My home group is on Wednesday night. What step you on? At 7 o'clock at 7303 South Maryland. If you're ever in Chicago, stop by.
Hi.
Thank you. You know, I'm real grateful that I read that statement because, you know, I don't have to go way, way back. But I got to tell y'all how I got here. You know what I'm saying? I got here because I didn't know how to stop using. I got here because I had lost all self-respect for Gaeta. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know whether I was coming or going. And I just didn't know how to stay clean. I got here because I was sleeping with every Tom, Dick, and Harry, and Aunt Mary, and you know. So I'm grateful that I came to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous to find a new way to live and stop using drugs. But in recovery, life shows up. Life shows up in recovery. And the topic tonight is: am I recovering? Or am I just staying clean? I just want to read something out of Recovery and Relapse on page 75. It talks about recovery as experience through our 12 steps is our goal, not mere physical abstinence. To improve ourselves takes effort. And since there is no way in the world to grasp a new idea on a closed mind, an opening must be made somehow. I got a lot out of that because, see, in recovery, I thought just staying clean was enough for me. I thought just making meetings, not picking up the drugs, was okay. But see, when I came in here and I put the drugs down, I had some real sick behaviors. I'm talking about I still couldn't stop having sex relationships with Tom, Mary, and Harry. I couldn't stop shoplifting. I couldn't stop stealing other people's money. I still didn't know how to show up for work. And I'm talking about clean. I hadn't even begun to work the steps. I hadn't even begun to get a sponsor. I tried to get this program in 1989. And when in 1989, when I came around the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, then they was wearing the long fur coats and the rabbit hats that matched and the gold chains. And they had some real cold starter kits then. You know, and I didn't stick around. So I went back out there for 10 more years. You know, and I stayed out there and I started to do the things that I never told myself. I always told myself I would never do that. You know, and man, look, one more kept me going over, under, down, around, and about, through alleys with TVs in my hands. How about people don't see me? You know what I'm saying? It's 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning. People don't see me. If I look out my back window tonight, today, I see people walking down the alleys with TVs and VCRs. So it takes me back. But then it brings me forward because today I'm learning how to recover from a seamless, hopeless state of mind. I'm talking about when life shows up. Let me get back to that. When life shows up, what are you going to do? I'm talking about through heartache and pain. I'm talking about through real bad relationships. I'm talking about having some deaths in your family. I'm talking about losing a job clean. And if you ain't got nothing under your belt to help you get to that next level, to accept the things that you just cannot change, what you going to do? Telling yourself you won't pick this man up no more. You done changed your phone number only to turn around and give it to him again. Telling yourself you wasn't going to use no more. But I'm going to talk about me because, see, I told myself I wasn't going to use no more. And that man had became a drug to me. When I thought I had put it down in 2003, I just kept picking it up over and over and over. He had become a drug to me. Because I didn't know how to stop. And I'm talking about clean. And I got about 4 or 5 steps under my belt. Am I recovering or just staying clean? You see, at that moment, I was just staying clean. Because I was tired of staying in the fetal positions. So I was saying, it's okay. Come on, you can step on me some more. It's okay. I'll be all right. Come on, come on. It's okay. And I took that for some years. I'm talking about after putting him out in 2003 and still creeping, sneaking, and freaking in 2005. Am I staying clean or am I recovering? Man, look. I'm going to tell you, Melvin. I wasn't staying clean, nor was I recovering. I just wanted one more. Because of the feeling. I used because of my feelings. I used because of my emotions. Sometimes today, I still use because of my feelings and my emotions. It may be shopping. It may be a man. It may be on the boat. It may be lying. So that's just staying clean for me. That's not enough for me today. I'm tired of being stepped on. I'm tired of telling myself it's okay when it just ain't okay. Ladies, it just ain't okay. It ain't okay for you to go down to Mary's house and then come over my house at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning knowing it ain't nothing but a booty call. But I tell myself it's okay because of the feeling that I get. You know? Life shows up. What are you going to do? Man, you got to get around these rooms. Sisters, get with some sisters. Men, get with some men that's working this thing. I'm talking about working it. So what, they got the 12 steps? So what, they got the knowledge of the 12 steps? Is it showing up in their life? Anybody can quote this book. Anybody can tell you the steps. But are they living those steps in their lives? You know what I'm saying? Life shows up. I keep saying that because, see, life showed up for me. And if you ain't got nothing under your belt, no steps, no sponsor, no support group, what the hell are you going to do? You ain't go back out there to the bitter ends or stay in here and clean and be crazy as hell. I don't want to be crazy because look, I almost lost my mind, y'all. I'm talking about October the 5th, 2005, I lost my baby boy. It was horrible. I lost my son. He was 23 years old. He was Sergeant Clyde Tony. He was a good boy. He was a good boy. He was going to school, doing the things he needed to do. And life showed up. You want to ask God, why? And I heard a brother say, sometimes God won't tell you why. You just got to hold on and go through to the bitter end. And that's what I'm doing. I'm holding on because, see, I know he got something in store for me. He brought me out here to tell y'all to just hold on. Do trial and error. Hold on. You don't know what you're going to do. But what I did was I had a lovely support group. I'm talking about having a sponsor that didn't even know what to do, but she hung in there with me, y'all. Because she had never had the experience, but she hung in there with me. Through my trial and error, when life shows up, what you gonna do? So I lose my son. And I'm going to school at the same time. Because, see, I'm going to be a nurse when it's all over. When it's all over, I'm going to be a nurse. I promise you, I'm going to be a nurse. When it's all over, I'm coming out, and I'm coming out clean. And I'm coming out on top because I'm recovering through this piece right here in my life, man. Look. I ain't using no man. I ain't using no woman. I ain't using no drugs. I ain't using the stores, the shop, because I ain't got no money. You know what I'm saying? I'm using my basic text. I'm using my sponsor. And I'm using my sponsee sisters. And I'm using some clean brothers around the rooms and narcotics. And I'm just telling me, Gator, you got to wrap this thing around your finger, baby. You got to hold on. And I'm coming up on 8 years next Friday. I know I got to hold on. This disease is insidious. It's sneaky. It's cunning. But it ain't more powerful than the God that I serve in my life today. So life shows up. Are you just staying clean or are you recovering? So, but look. Like I said, I'm recovering through this piece. Oh, God, thank you so much. So I put my baby boy down. And this October the 5th, 2005. And it's been 6 months now since he's been gone. And I'm still here and I ain't going nowhere. But life showed up again, you know. But like I said, I was going to school after I put him down. And I really didn't have time for the grieving process. Grieving is a process. I promise y'all, it's a process. And so when I got some time out of school, I knew it was coming. I was going to be off for a whole month this year. And and I didn't want to stop going to school because I didn't know what I was going to do with me. You know, I'm going to have too much time on my hand. I can't do this. But God said, Gayetta, I need you to be still. I need you to start this process so I can get you to the other side. You know, and I was like, no, God, no, no. I just got to find something to do. So I wasn't clean then because my mind wasn't free. You know what I'm saying? It was clogged with the disease of addiction, and it was telling me, go to work, Gayetta, go to work. I'm trying to work 18 goddamn hours a day. You know, killing myself. They say we kill ourselves a bag at a time until we die. Well, I was killing myself a day at a time, trying to push 12 hours a day just so I didn't have time on my hands. Just so I wouldn't go through that grieving process. But I got sick. So life showed up again. And God put me down in the bed. He said, I told you to be still. And I'm still trying to get up and go to work. I can do 7 hours. Crazy. Crazy, man. Look, the disease was out to destroy me. But again, life showed up. And God said, Gayetta, I got you. Just go through. I got you. And one morning I woke up and I was getting ready to go to Titley Park. That's the crazy house, y'all. Chicago. I thought they was going to come and get me because I was losing my freaking mind. I was losing my mind. And the first thing they say is put 35 cents on the back of the key tag so you can call somebody before you use. And even if you do use, still call somebody. Well, hell, I didn't have nothing to use. All I could do was call on God and ask him to help me get out of this fetal position and help me get to the phone so I can call somebody to come and help me. I was like back on the floor like I was looking for one more and I couldn't move. I was stuck. When I finally got up off that floor and made it to the phone, I called my family and asked somebody to come and help me because I was so afraid of losing me, going through that grieving process. God is so good. He has been so wonderful in my life. You know, and I keep showing up so I can grow up through this thing. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to use nobody. No offense, but I don't want to sleep with no more big fat women. Look here. Look, look, look. Let me tell y'all this story. Look, 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 look. Look. Man.
Tell the story.
I'm talking about trying to get one more. And they say we go to any length to get one more. And I was going to any length to get one more. And it was a big sister. Ooh. Big sister she was. I say, man, I gotta have one more. Let me do this right fast, right fast. Y'all know how we try to do it right fast. I'm trying to do it right fast when I was getting smothered, 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 smothered. So I don't want no more big fat women. No offense. I don't want no more. I want to stay clean in that area. And I am recovering from that area. I love my God so much. But it only comes from working the 12 steps of my cognizant knowledge, having a loving, caring sponsor, and having some sponsee sisters in my life and some brothers that really and truly love me for me. You know what I'm saying? They show up when life shows up for me. You know, they love me unconditionally, and I love that so much. You know what I'm saying? There are some beautiful brothers around the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous that's not always trying to get in the ladies' pants. You know what I'm saying? And they're just as loving and caring as some of us sisters are. You know? Man, God is just so wonderful. He has just been so wonderful in my life, and this program has given me so much strength and so much courage. I thought I didn't have nothing to share with you guys. You know what I'm saying? I didn't think nobody would show up because I didn't have nothing to say. But there is so much. There's so much in this basic text. If you pick it up and read it, you will find yourself in those stories. You will find yourselves in the steps. Man, look, let me tell this and then I'm going to shut up. I'm just really grateful because I'm a big crybaby, number one. Number two, God has been doing some things in my life, and sometimes I doubt him because he don't work fast enough because, you know, I want that instant gratification piece, you know what I'm saying? And you just can't have it. You can't have it, Gayetta. Just be still and God will work that piece out for you. And he has, he's been just been working things out. Moment by moment for me. Anyway, let me get to this. God, I lost my train of thought. But anyway, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for Joe B. and the committee for inviting me out to share my experience, strength, and hope with you guys. And I just pray somebody got something out of my message because it really and truly helped me. You know, it just lets me get free a little bit more. You know, I used to say, I'm so nervous, I'm just shaking in my boots, but I don't have my boots on today. You know, I got my gym shoes on, and everybody is kind of laid back up here, and it just feels so good. You know what I'm saying? Oh, I know what I was going to say. Look. Look, y'all. This recovery thing is just so wonderful. You know what I'm saying? I have, I'm working on the ninth step, and it talks about making amends to people you have harmed and the financial amends thing, you know what I'm saying? And I've been doing that too. You know, don't want to, but have to. And it's so hard, you know? But I got to do it. And it's just this one individual, which is my ex-husband, and he don't believe he's my ex-husband. You know what I'm saying? He just won't accept it. But I have. I've been divorced for about 4 years now. And he just won't accept it. I'm like, would you please let go? You know, so I keep asking God, when are you going to give me the willingness so I can go over there and tell that man that, you know, I really and truly apologize for, you know, the harm that I've caused in our marriage. You know, we were married for 18 years and I'm done. I'm done. You know what I'm saying? But he don't see it, and he keeps saying, what you tell me? I'm like, what you talking about what I tell you? Bye. He think I'm supposed to tell you I love you. No. No, I love you unconditionally, if that's what you want to hear. You know what I'm saying? I have no love for the brother, but I'm praying and asking God to give me that willingness that I need to go over and sit with him and talk with him and tell him that there's nothing that could ever be again. You know, you could continue to read the Bible. You could continue to say, well, excuse me, I don't want to break no traditions. I'm sorry. The other book. And, you know, and find stuff in there and quote it to me and tell me this is what thus has said. No. No, it's over, it's done with, I'm moving on in my life, you know what I'm saying? I have let go of that relationship that I should have let go some years ago. You know, I'm not dibbling and dabbling, Melvin, I am recovering from that piece. I'm still in school. I'm going through that, and I'm gonna come out, and I'm gonna come out clean, y'all. Next time y'all see me, I'm gonna have my nursing hat on. Talk about how may I help you? Know what I'm saying? You sick, baby? Come on, let me take care of you. Man, I love y'all so much. Again, recovery is working the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous, going through situations. Totally clean, you know, not substituting one for the other. That's what I mean. That's recovery for me. I'm not substituting anything or nobody for nothing. So if you here, stay here. Everybody, put your hands up. Come on, put your hands up. Put your hands up. This is where your help is. I love y'all. I keep coming back.
You don't get no water.
Thank you, God. Our second speaker is Dwight W. from somewhere local. I don't know, newcomer or something. Come on, Dwight.
Thank you, Jeff. Good evening, family. I'm Dwight, and I'm an addict. And it's truly only by the grace of the God of my understanding, people like you in rooms like these, that I'm here today drug-free. And I'd like to thank Gayetta for a very clear message of recovery. It moved me emotionally. I'm capable of shedding tears today. You know, I don't know if other brothers holding on to image, you understand, and can't do that. You know, when I go to the movies and it's one of those touching movies and it pulls it out of me, I go in, do I get my little tissue, whatever. Don't matter. See what I'm saying? Remember when you was in the cell block, in the bunk all by yourself. At night when they locked the doors, what were you? You was crying. You need to get real, you know? That's what this thing is about. And the first thing I need to do is snitch on my disease. All right. Now, just like you, Lucifer was moving. All right. And you got to beware of Slewfoot. All right. Because he come around, he told me, Slim, you ain't got nothing to share. You know, you can't share on this topic. How you going to share on this topic? But wait a minute. Today I have 7,246 days clean. Okay. Now, that ain't suspect, John. All right. June 5th, I'll be celebrating 20 years. Okay. That's only by the grace of the God of my understanding and you people. You know? Now, my mind is not my friend. Y'all need to understand that, too. My mind can do some real tricky things, like sneak up and ambush me, and I don't even know it's coming. All right? I got to beware of that thing. So what happened was my mother-in-law has been ill, and my wife was down in Petersburg, Virginia, taking care of her. And while she was out of town that week, I was sitting at my computer, and I was reading the letter from the convention committee. And I said, the phone number was on there. You know, you can't make a call. So I rationalized, well, I've got a good excuse. You know, my mother-in-law in the hospital, I ain't got to go. You know, I ain't got nothing to share, no way. So what happened was I didn't make the call that night. That was a Wednesday, 3 weeks ago. And on Thursday, my sponsor, little guy, this guy calls me every day. He'll talk to my answering machine. Raise your hand, Mike. He talked to my answer machine. He talked to me. He talked to whatever he get. Okay? And we've been doing this thing for like 14 months now. All right? This is without fail. Okay? That's a rarity. So Mike called me, and I exposed myself. Okay? I told him what I was thinking. And he said, thank you for sharing that with me because, you know, you helped me because I got a problem sharing in meetings. Okay, so when y'all see him in a meeting, he going to raise his hand and at least say, my name is Mike and I'm an addict. All right. Now, that's a beginning. Okay? We all have to start small. And the thing was, I talked to another sponsor of mine. He dumped a little load on me, right? And I said, hold up, shorty, take this. And he said, well, what you need to do, you need to listen to that tape that you did April 9th, 1994, in Ocean City on Achieving a Balance in Recovery. So, I listened to the tape. All right? Then I called my sponsor. You know? And my sponsor helped me by reliving some of the situations that we've dealt with over the years. You know, and that was a blessed thing. So, that, I'm not going to tell you that I hadn't been up in my head, okay? I pre-planned exactly what I was going to say 1,000 times over, okay? And let me tell you this. Last year, I suffered with anxiety. I don't know if anyone's ever suffered with that or not, but... you know, I got hit with that thing, and when I was reading, I was in an NA meeting reading, and I would read, and I was like a newcomer. I was shaking like a leaf, you know, and I couldn't breathe, and the problem was I wasn't breathing deeply enough, okay? I wasn't breathing into my diaphragm. I was breathing in my lungs, you know, and so I went and saw a therapist, and I told him my story. And he said, "Shorty, you better off than I am." You know, immediately put me on Prozac, and I immediately took myself off of Prozac because it messed with your nature, and I wasn't trying to have it. You know, so with that piece said, I am blessed with the disease of addiction. Okay, what I have is a feeling disease. And what happened for me, you see, I can't tell you I came from a dysfunctional family. I came from a family that was full of love. I had morals, ethics, and principles instilled in me at an early age. My father was a professor at Fisk and Howard University. My mother taught English at Howard University. And I come from a family of overachievers, okay? And what happened, though, when I was 12 years old, my father passed from. And it was... He had been in the hospital, but me being the selfish person I am, I was out riding my bicycle when the ambulance came to get him. So for 24 years, I held the guilt and shame of his death on me. All right, when my mother came to tell me that my father had died, I told her I wish it had been her instead of him. And I was sincere about that at that point in time. That was a hell of a thing to carry. But what I did, being the soldier that I was, I carried it hard, okay? Within 6 months of my father's death, I was in my first institution. And institutions became a way of life for me. When I was out, my peers would ask me, "When are you going back home?" Because institutions is where I lived. I've spent 15 years in institutions, prisons, and penitentiaries cross country. Because I hear people share that I went to jail once, you know, and I didn't go no more. Not me. I go back regular, you know. I used to hold records for the shortest time on the street. 21 hours. 7 days. You know, I used to call myself fooling the United States Parole Commission. You know, so I could get out. And what happened was, my last trip in, I went to the feds, and I got an opportunity to see the United States courtesy of the federal government. You know, I've been to Memphis FCI, Terre Haute USP, Lewisburg USP, Petersburg FCI. You know, so at my home group, they used to call me the Bird King, you know. And the thing is, though, I haven't been in the penitentiary since 1981. Okay? That's a long, 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 long time for a guy like me. Because I like taking people's stuff. Okay? Now, I was introduced to these rooms in 1984. And I came in here and I looked around and I saw y'all people sitting around here. You know, you were gritting or, you know, whatever. And see, I was a soldier. I could handle it. But y'all was suckers sitting up in this room. You know, something was wrong with y'all. So what I did was went back on the research committee for an additional 2 years. I went back and I got some old pain. I got some new pain. I got some warmed over pain. Okay? And what happened was an angel came into my life. And it was a United States probation officer. And he gave me some options. He told me you can stop using on your own. You can get on a bus. You can go into an in-house detox. Or you can get on a bus going back to Lewisburg United States Penitentiary. I said, how dare this guy talk to me like that? He don't know me. I'll fix him. I'll kill me. That's what dope fiends do, isn't it? So for 8 days, I went on a binge. And when I finally got to treatment, I weighed 137 pounds soaking wet. I was more dead than alive, helpless and hopeless. I need to tell you about a guy who had no purpose, no ambition, no desires. Okay? And I just didn't feel good about me. I didn't have the heart to put a .357 in my head and pull the trigger. So what I did was I injected it in my arm on a daily basis. I poured it down my throat or I smoked it. And I went into this in-house detox. And I managed to get kicked out of there in 28 days. I need to tell y'all I'm married too. Okay? In September, it'll be 24 years that I've been married. And I'm a guy that couldn't stay in a relationship 2 weeks. All right. So what happened was when I got kicked out of this treatment program, it was for behavior that was not conducive to the treatment program. I don't have to share the exact nature with you. I can share that with my sponsor. So it was for believing that I was in a co-ed environment in the penitentiary, which I had never been. And taking advantage of that environment. And I got kicked out. Now, I heard things. Now, toxic. I heard things. Y'all said work the steps. So I got kicked out 2 days early, and I had to go home and see my wife, and she wanted to know why I'm home 2 days early. Ninth step. No. See, there was eight before that I was supposed to deal with before I got to nine. All right. So I got a lot of resentment and animosity, you know, as a result of that. And at 6 months clean, I was sponsoring two females. I don't need to tell y'all how that went. One had 24 days, one had 30 days. You need to understand that my story is the most precious commodity that I ever had. If I ever forget where I came from, I'm destined to repeat those same mistakes all over again. What I did, I lost a friendship through sex. Okay? And I made a commitment. I'm talking about recovering now. I made a commitment to start to change in my life and learn how to be monogamous. I came in here flat back hoe. You know, if you had it, I was with it. You know, I was trying to go. You know, whatever means necessary, I'm trying to do it. But this program is about change. You all told me change you must. Or die you will. The same person will use again. Yes. I've seen it. You know, it's been evident to me over the course of these years. And I thank God for longevity. That's right. Okay? Some people may tell you clean time doesn't mean anything. Don't have any. See what it means. Okay? You know, I came in here, I got kicked out of treatment, but I didn't use. That was the key. I got a sponsor who had a sponsor who had a sponsor who had a working knowledge of the 24 spiritual principles of this program and who went to meetings on a regular basis. My sponsor directed me to go to more step meetings than open discussion meetings because there's structure in the steps. He got me involved. At 9 months, I was getting ready to start doing the fourth step. You know, he had me write the first three. I'm not going to tell you You know, your sponsor has you doing something different, do what your sponsor said. My sponsor had me write the first three, and it was critical to me because I was able to look back and see what I wrote in the first year. Man, I was about crazy as a young bed bug. Okay? But it's committed to paper. If I do it up in here, where I can hit the erase button and change the whole context with one word, then it doesn't mean the same thing. So I wrote those steps. I got in service. I got a home group. What is a home group? A home group is a place where I can go, where I can get to know people, and where people can get to know me. We met. We formed a circle. All right, we met in the basement. Sometimes we, the trusted servant, may not have the key. And we would sit outside, and the drunk might come across the street, you know, and they might get sober. No telling what might happen. But these are things that happen, and I continue to come back, okay? I used to work for the government in 1976. My mother got me a job because I told you I didn't like to work, you know? I was married at the time and didn't want to be married either. I just got married because I hadn't done it before, all right? And I happened to have dropped some acid that day, you know, and I mean, that's the real, and this was a stormy marriage. Okay, we were married on paper for 5 years, and we were only together like a year. So, you know, I just think back on these things, and it helps me a lot. Like you, I lost my train of thought. But in 76. Thank you. See? Yeah. This is my road dog. The whole 19 years he's been here, we've been doing it together, you know? So he helps me to remember my story, you know? But I was working for the government in this job that my mother got me. And I was moving desks. I was a laborer. And I was moving this desk that had a pocketbook in it that had a $400 check. And y'all know I didn't take that check, man. You know I didn't take it. Y'all know I didn't take that check. Well, what happened was they asked me if I would. This was a 700-hour temporary appointment. I couldn't stay there 28 days. They asked me if I would politely get off their federal government property and not come back anymore. So later, after getting out of treatment, I was working on a government subcontract. And if you know anything about a government subcontract, when it ends, you're gone. And it had always been a goal of mine to get back in the federal government. I'm talking about this change and recovery. And what I did was I stepped out on blind faith. And I applied. And the people had to send it up to Boyers, Pennsylvania to the investigative branch up there. And they cleared it. Two agencies turned me down, and another one picked me up. And today, I've been with the federal government going on 19 years. All right. That's a message of hope. Because the things that I can do, you can certainly do. All right. Now, today, at my age, you can't come to my agency, though. If you got any felonies, you show up. Because what they did, I'm grandfathered in, but Congress implemented an act in 1993 that said that no felons can work for our agency because we deal with the banking industry. Now, I started as a clerk, and today I'm in charge of emergency preparedness and transportation on a national basis. Okay? I'm talking about the work. See, I asked for this. I got it, and sometimes I don't want it, all right? This is my relief, to be able to come down here to Ocean City, to be able to get away from it all, and I take off on Monday, too. I don't see no sense in going back. I got leave, okay? And I have accumulated these things, all right? Now, my supervisor called me this morning. The man called me this morning. He said, you're not here and your employee's not here. But wait a minute, you changed my employee over to you without my knowledge last week, so you need to be worried about why he's not there. What I've learned how to do is not be so thin-skinned. I let him say what he had. This 7:30 this morning. He on the phone, yada, 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 yada. Okay, I'll see you Tuesday. I'm going to Ocean City. Okay? And see, how this process has worked for me, I talked about my wife. I'm in love with my wife. Okay? I love my wife dearly. All right? And, you know, we have a lot of fun together. Our birthdays are the same day, 9 years apart. We got a daughter in college in Philadelphia, getting ready to graduate in June. She's coming out. She's going to be a webmaster. You know, she's coming out of the Art Institute. And then I got a 15-year-old N.A. baby. And my wife told me, she's an N.A. baby, because my wife told me if I wasn't doing what I was supposed to do, she wouldn't have been here. Plain and simple. This child is on the A.B. honor roll. She's doing everything I wouldn't do. See, I'm a professional quitter and runner. All my life, I ran from everything, all right? I had credit issues when I came here. I know no one else had any problems like that, did they? What happened with me, when I came, well, what happened is, foolishly, people would send me credit cards, all right? And what I would do is I would get the cash limit out and shoot that up. And then charge my wife a TV or something else to, go ahead and take care of her. Then when the bill came, I ain't paying that junk. Shouldn't have sent me the card. So, from the time I got clean in 86 until 1989, I was in credit counseling. I had to give up all the credit cards. I had to pay one sum to this company every month, and then they paid it. But it helped to repair my credit. Yeah. I'm just trying to share some life issues that we go through, you know, that I'm kind of on the other side of right this minute. Now, what happened, I learned a valuable lesson from that, is that I'm never going to be late on a bill again. Okay? So after I came out of that process, I was able to start rebuilding my credit. I got the home. I got this. My credit score is somewhere near 800 now, you know, and I can get anything I want on my signature. Too much credit can hurt you, too. So I'd be telling them, look, Sean, I don't want nothing. If it's not 3.9, fixed. I ain't with it, you know, and that's real. There's a lot of areas in this program that I've been able to work on. You know, responsibility is a big one for me. I can't sit up here and tell you that I'm recovering all the time. Sometimes I'm just clean. Sometimes I just don't want to go to a meeting. I don't want to be bothered with y'all. But you know when they told me to go to meetings? They told me to go when I wanted to go, when I didn't want to go, and when I had no idea what I wanted to do. I need to go to a meeting. So today, I still go to meetings continually. I'm still involved in my network. I got a strong network, and I stay in touch with them. They're not going to let me stay out of touch with them for too long. And service. They told me if I got in the middle of the bed, it would be hard to fall off the edge. Did you know you could die in these rooms? Yes. That you can sit up in these rooms and shoplift all this good information and not give it back and die as a direct result. Come on. I went back out because I stopped going to meetings. My first year here, I heard about a guy who had 42 years and went back out. Why? Because he stopped going to meetings 9 years earlier. I don't want to be in those numbers. So I try to put protection on my recovery by continuing to come to meetings, by continuing to be involved in the program, by continuing to be involved in service. Now, service, I got one service commitment. And And that service commitment is an annual service commitment. Okay? And some of my home group members in here laughing. Because every June, we put on a newcomer's picnic. And the numbers have swelled to around 2,000 right now. That's who comes. Now, it's a free picnic. But it ain't free for us. We pay with blood, sweat, and tears. We used to wash cars. Got too old for that. We get slick now. We sell raffle tickets. We have a dance. And then we have a picnic. And then we have addicts complaining. This is where, again, where we have to work on not being thin-skinned. Y'all ran out of ketchup? Did you put any money in the pot? You know? So, it's these things that keep us humble. You know, remaining green and teachable. Being able to listen to a newcomer come in and share and get a message from that. Being able to feel what's talked about. Now, death and recovery. I heard when Gayetta was talking about that. And my mother was fair game when I used. So if I steal from my mother, you know I steal from many of y'all. Don't care nothing about that. I have no cut cards when I use. And yet, when I got clean, my mother was there for me. You know, when I went in treatment, I called her in Florida. Because in 82, when I got married, my mother told my wife, "You got him now," and moved to Florida. Okay. So I called my mother long distance in Florida, and I said, "Mom, I'm in treatment. I'm trying to do the right thing." She said, "Boy, I don't think you hit your bottom yet." So what happened was I was able to stay and do the things that were necessary. And in my first anniversary, my third anniversary, my fifth anniversary, my mother was there. In 94, she took ill. She came up here for surgery because she trusted me enough then to want to be near me. And the surgery was successful, but she suffered a severe stroke. And she lost hope. I'm talking about a very accomplished woman. She spoke Portuguese, Spanish, Latin, French, Italian. She learned sign language when she was 69 years old so she could communicate with her mute nephew. And the stroke affected her right side, and she was right-handed. But what I was able to do was teach her how to write left-handed. I was able to have the patience to do that. I was dealing with her finances, too. And what happened was one day she told me, she said, I can't walk outside anymore. Then she said she couldn't walk to the dinner table anymore. And I had her in an assisted living home. And then one day she told me she couldn't walk anymore, and that was the beginning of the end. And on October 5th, 1999, she passed. That grieving is a process. I never grieved my father's death until I got here. Working with my mother, I'm not caught up about her passing because I know each one of us are going to pass. What I'm grateful for is that for the last 2.5 years of her life, I got to see her with regularity. She would tell me things like when I would take her. See, I didn't have use or lose leave then because I was taking it all, taking her to the doctor. She was over at Union Memorial in Baltimore. I was taking off half a day every day going over there to see her, you know, and laughing coming down Green Mountain Avenue. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You know, making sure that her needs were met. Going to that assisted living facility regularly, because if you don't go, if you have a loved one who's in a facility like that, you better go check on them. Okay? Because they will abuse them to no end. I was able to get her into a facility for people with dementia and Alzheimer's, even though she didn't have it. She had her own room. And they tried to put her in the hospital, but she told them, I want to die here. And they let her die there. And my fondest memories are, after the stroke, she was kind of like that little old lady on Golden Girls. Say, whatever come in her head. You know? My wife come in there and say something, shut up, Donna. You know? Or my baby would hide under the card table. And I remember I would put her in the car to take her to the doctor's appointment. And she'd say, Dyke, roll the window up. Dyke, roll the window down. And I said, shorty, I'm going to hit the eject button and throw your butt out of here in a minute. All right. There has to be humor in my recovery. I have to learn how to make the best of each situation that I encounter. There's a positive in every negative that I meet. And I got to be able to draw from those things. That's what recovery is about. Okay? Recovery is when I went to the Giant last week. And I gave the lady $5. Her name is Patty. I gave her $5 for the salad. There was $3 and some change. And she gave me change for $50. And I said, Patty, take that. I'm recovering in that area because when I first came in, I steal your drawers off your back while I'm standing there talking to you. Okay? There's a lot of areas that I'm recovering from. Oh, I got another one. Smoking. I'm a recovering smoker, so I'm going to talk about that for a minute. See, what I did, they told me don't make any major changes in the first year. So I waited a little bit after the first year, and then I was over. We used to go to this place called Pathfinders Club. And I was standing outside Pathfinders Club smoking. And somebody came up, give me a cigarette. Before I knew it, they came up, give me one, give my buddy one too. And back then I was cursing. You notice I haven't used any profanity today. I'm working on that too. All right? So what happened was I cussed him out soundly and told him I used to sell cigarettes in the penitentiary 2-for-1. What I look like giving you a cigarette? See what I'm saying? So I got in my car with a pack with 19 in it. And very simply, I asked God to remove that compulsion. That was August 9th, 1987. I haven't had a cigarette since then. You know? There's different plateaus in this thing that we achieve. And I want to continue to recover. I got more callings that are upon me that I have to do. But I have to continue to be willing to do the work that's necessary. I'm gonna give y'all this one, man. I've been bucking on church, all right, ever since I got around here. Now, my mother was raised Catholic. My grandfather was an AME Methodist minister. And my mother told her father that as soon as she left his house, she was going to convert, and she became an Episcopalian, which is a Catholic in reverse. Stand, kneel, sit, stand, kneel, kneel, kneel. Okay? And that's all I could equate to. So, my wife is into the Word. And I find myself drawn to a higher calling. And she asked me to go to a pastor's dinner with her several weeks ago, which I wanted to buck on. But I didn't. I went. And while there, the bishop who was speaking pointed me out. He said, I know you're doing some work in some other areas, but you need to be in the church. Man, he never seen me a day in his life. So, I got some more work to do.
Come on, man.
Thanks for letting me share. Yes, ma'am.